Yeah, on this Monday morning. So what happens at your job if you or a family member are diagnosed with COVID-19 and you have to miss a significant part of work? The Families First Coronavirus Response Act addresses that, but it's undergone some recent revisions. Joining us right now, Maria Dwyer, attorney at Clark Hill, to explain a little bit more about these revisions. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. So what do these revisions mean for the average family that has to maybe miss some work because of COVID-19?
Sure, Paul. Well, essentially, they provided some clarification and reaffirmed a couple of things that were confusing to some of our employers. The revisions were issued on September 11th of all days and went into effect on September 16th. And the entire act will remain in effect until December 31st of this year, unless extended by Congress. The revisions really did four things. First, they reaffirmed and provided additional explanation for the requirement that employees that may take the leave can only do so if it would otherwise be available to them, meaning, essentially, it is a COVID-related need and not where a situation where the employee has been laid off because of lack of work. So the work has to otherwise be available. Mm-hmm. If there isn't any work and the individual is laid off, then really the benefit there would be unemployment insurance, as we've seen rise across our country. The second additional explanation is for the requirement that an employee have employer approval to take the leave intermittently. Now, we know that under the traditional FMLA, there is a provision that allows employees to take leave intermittently, meaning I only need to be off twice a month to attend to doctor appointments or physical therapy. In this instance, it really only applies where families are dealing with 100% remote school. And so where you have that emergency FMLEA, which is part of the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, and you have a family where a husband and wife are both working, and perhaps the husband needs to stay home 2 days a week to watch the kids who are home from school. That would be the intermittent leave type situation, and that would need to be approved by the employer. The third change is to the definition of healthcare provider, and that reverts back now to the definition under the FMLA. And so those folks who, for example, a records person at your dental office or the receptionist at your dental office, they're likely to be entitled to this leave because they're not actually providing healthcare to individuals. So this provision is really intended to keep our first responders at work and not giving them this opportunity for 2 weeks of paid leave when all of this really started back in March. The final piece was really to clarify that employees must provide documentation supporting their need for leave. And employers really want to have employees fill out a form of sorts that identifies the reason for the leave, the type of leave that's being taken, and the amount of time needed. Because as we know, if you're a private employer, you're getting reimbursed by the IRS through an immediate deduction. And in the event you're audited, you want to make sure that you have that documentation in place. So those were really the four main changes, Paul.
Those are some pretty important changes. The one that jumped out at me is the one regarding homeschooling, because so many families are confronted with that right now, a situation where the kids are going to be home. Now, this is just 100%, because we have in this area, for example, as a lot of districts do, a hybrid where kids might be home every other day. Is that something that would fall under these provisions?
It absolutely would. That would also fall under the 12 weeks of leave allotted under the EFMLEA, right, which is our extension of the FMLA. And under that provision, however, the clarification said if a school district is hybrid, and meaning that kids are in, let's say, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, home on Tuesday and Thursday, a new leave would be triggered during those hybrid days that the kids are home, different from the 100% remote where you only need to be home a couple of days because you have other care. So that was really the clarification, but absolutely those families that are home just on a hybrid schedule, they would also be eligible for this extended leave, the 12 weeks of paid leave.
Families have had to be really flexible this year, obviously, but so have employers, haven't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think we've really seen how employees can work successfully and be productive at home. And as an employment lawyer, you know, a lot of clients are always suggesting that, you know, remote work is really a very limited opportunity, and most employees need to be in the office in order to be productive and get all of their work done. And we've now seen, because we were quickly forced to transition our employees to 100% remote status back in March, that folks can be productive at home, folks are happy at home, and here where you have a situation where families are really needed to be home either, you know, full-time because schools are closed, or in this hybrid sense, similar to what you're facing in your area, that employees can continue to be productive. And so I think we're going to see a big change in real estate and a reduction in employees having to be in the office every day.
Yeah, it's... You're absolutely right. It's going to be interesting in the next, not just months, but I think years ahead, how this is all going to shake out. It's going to be very interesting. We appreciate the insight. Thanks for the information. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Paul. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.